What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome in the post here at 10:16 on this Wednesday night following some Sixers basketball. I'm Devon Givens with you as the 76ers win 118-114. We go until midnight, breaking it all down with you, 610-632-0975, as they picked up a much-needed win for your Philadelphia 76ers, 7-3 in their last 10. They now have a one-game win streak, and they look for two on Friday when they host the Dallas Mavericks, who did defeat the Brooklyn Nets tonight, 113-111. We'll get into them over the next couple of days as we get ready for that one on Friday. But an important one tonight. The 76ers needed this one desperately, not just because they just needed a win. They needed a win against a solid team that you feel like you have an edge over, that you can beat. And they are now 3-0 against this team. But we saw all four starters play well as far as the scoring goes. When we look at Embiid with his 35-17. Maxey stepping up yet again, 25 points on the night, making three threes. 21-11 for James Harden. He did shoot 12 shots. That's more than the 11 that he had last night, but 5 of 12, 1 of 6 from deep. So hope that he can again get that going. Don't know about the hamstring or even the calf as to why the shot is not falling. A lot of them are the step back variety. Maybe he needs to shoot them differently. We'll see how all that plays out overall. And of course, Tobias Harris, 8 of 13, very efficient, 19 points on the 8 of 13, shooting 3 of 6. And seeing him more often with these catch and shoot opportunities, feeling a little more comfortable taking those shots, whether it's off the bounce, but specifically as Joel Embiid attracts a lot of attention. The same for James Harden. Those catch and shoot 3 opportunities will be there. He's starting to knock them down at a better clip overall. So good to see that. 2 of 7 from Matisse Thybulle. Picked up 3 fouls. He got into that foul trouble a little early on. 5 points tonight, knocking down 1-3 also. But the bench did put together 13 points, something that we, again, hope we see continue to improve. They are who they are. Not much is going to change going forward, except for, as Doc Rivers said in his post-game press conference, speaking to Keith Pompey of the Inquirer, that they are going to have things happen how they happen in every game, deciding who gets the run and who doesn't get the run. Tonight, you got 21 minutes from Danny Green, 18 from George Niang, and you saw 12 from DeAndre Jordan, mixing in Shake Milton and Isaiah Joe for a couple of minutes, which was scoreless minutes, and someone is eventually going to have to step up and help out during the playoff run, because you're going to need that help from the bench, whether it's 8, like Tom McGinnis was mentioning, 9 from 2 or 3 players. It all helps. It all counts the same way. It all adds up where you hope that someone does, in fact, step up, take the reign of that scoring person off the bench to help out the Sixers, not name George Niang, because he has been the one constant all season long where you can at least count on him to get the shots up. You hope that they ultimately fall. He had one big three tonight, did George Niang, and you hope that, again, he can get a shooting stroke going on Friday, pardon me, against the Dallas Mavericks, who are coming in once again off of another win, an identical record as the Philadelphia 76ers. So it's going to be a big one for the Sixers against the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic on Friday night back here at the center. Luka did have 37 this night, with 9 rebounds and 9 assists, 5 of 12 from deep. So he'll be ready to play once again when he steps into the building in Philadelphia on Friday night. For the Sixers overall, shooting 51.9%. So good to see them shooting at a much higher percentage once again. 12 made threes, 3 more than the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Sixers made 2 more field goals than the Cavs. Cavs had 3 more made free throws, and we don't typically see that from the opposition versus the Sixers, Joel Embiid and James Harden, but that was the case tonight. Harden and Embiid did their part as usual, 18 of 22 from the foul line, 10 of 12 from Harden, 8 of 10 from Joel Embiid, 17 huge rebounds, 5 offensive variety for Embiid, 1 big one from George Niang in the game as well, leading to a bucket for Embiid in the contest. and they turned the ball over only 11 times. So they protected the basketball. They gave themselves an opportunity. They did give up a couple of key offensive rebounds down the stretch, which led to buckets for the Cavaliers. But overall, a good win on the road. Yet again, it's never easy to win on the road. Never easy to do so. They pick up win number 23. They are 23-11 away from the center as they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse 39-30. So I ask you this, as we talk about this and we get ready to break the game down, what does it mean, though, now where you saw some good stuff from the bench, specifically Danny Green and George Niang? DeAndre Jordan gave you five rebounds, four assists. The one missed field goal that he had was, in fact, a missed dunk opportunity where it was right there. It was on the money. Tyrese Maxey hit him perfectly for the lob attempt, but he missed it. And, you know, those 2 points, you need those from the bench as we talk about this. He made two free throws, so kind of makes up for it with him known to be a poor free throw shooter. You'll take those 2 points and hope that he can convert those alley-oop opportunities. He did make one later with as he connected with James Harden in the fourth quarter to make it a 91-90 score in favor of Philadelphia. What do you make of the bench tonight? While the points weren't there, you did get some solid minutes from Danny Green. Some mistakes that he had there a couple of times, but he did have two steals. George Niang also had a steal. They were combined 3 of 10 from the floor, 3 of 9 from deep, so you need their shots to fall. But 48 minutes you cannot give to your starters. What do you want to see from the bench unit going forward? Isaiah Joe gets in there. You call for him. He gets to 4 minutes and 5 seconds. He picks up two quick personal fouls. Shake Milton, 3 minutes and 5 seconds. One personal foul, nothing else across the board for Shake Milton. So you hope that when they're out there on the floor, of course, that they just simply find a rhythm, find a way to contribute both defensively, most importantly, and then giving them something offensively while the guys rest. Now, with the two starters always being on the floor with three reserves or at least a third player, let's say Matisse Thybulle comes back in as that other starter on the floor, you need some offensive output to take some of the pressure off of the two-man grouping of Embiid and Maxey, and then later on with Harden and Harris. You have to make sure that you give them some sort of help on the as far as the scoring goes, to help them out overall as we move along with the remainder of the season, 14 games to go. And absolutely, once again, during the very same on the glass for the 76ers and defensively on the other end, helping them out with just taking some of the minutes away from the starters, taking some of them that pressure off of them with their legs. Once again, we hope that the 76ers can certainly do that when it comes to the bench. You need Danny Green in the playoffs. You need George Niang. Those are two guys that we believe will be a part of the rotation when it all starts off in April. Whether there are a lot of minutes or a short amount of minutes, you know those two are going to play. DeAndre Jordan looks like he has the edge over Paul Millsap, Paul Reed, and Charles Bassey. Maybe you're going to need one of them at some point in the postseason to give some minutes, depending on who the other center is that they're going against in that particular game, in that particular round, in that particular series, to help out Doc Rivers' team as he moves along. Does he need to trust the guys a little bit more and give them an opportunity? Furkan Korkmaz has now, you know, this is another game where he does not log any minutes. And Isaiah Joe looks like he has the edge over him at this point. Not by a lot, but just has the edge over him at this point. With Danny Green back, he's going to get the first crack as the wing player coming off the bench instead of Furkan Korkmaz, because he's not really giving you much. In the last 5 games for Furkan Korkmaz, he has given you a total of 15 points off the bench in the 5 games. They are 3-2. During that stretch in the last 5, and you just hope that he can really start to get it going. He's averaging for the month of March with the 6 games, 3 points, shooting 33% from deep and 26% from the field in 16 minutes. That's Danny Green giving you those numbers. I apologize. I hit Furkan Korkmaz, I thought, to look at his numbers. Let me give you the last six games for Furkan Korkmaz. And looking at who has played in 57 games on the season, averaging the 8.2 that he is. But he has been he was scoreless in the two New York games and Cleveland, where he logged 14, 5, and 7 minutes. 2 points against Miami, 8 points against Brooklyn in that loss. And since then, we haven't seen him against the Orlando Magic, the Denver Nuggets, and now tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I don't know when Doc Rivers will decide to call Furkan Korkmaz's number. Never know when it might come. Never know. Hey, Furk, can you go in there and give us a couple of minutes and knock down a couple of shots? I'll see, Coach, and see how it goes from there. So something is going to have to figure itself out with the bench, how they play defensively, but also helping out and giving them some points as well, taking some of the pressure off of the starters, because it is asking a lot for those players to go out there and just simply drop the numbers the way that they did, where you get, 60, and you got 100 points from those guys tonight. Yeah, you're going to need some help. You're going to need some help. Between looking at what you got, the 40 between Harris and Harden, and then you got the 60 between Embiid and Maxey, you got 100 points from the four starters that scored in double figures, then the five from Thibault, six from Green, four Jordan, three from Niang. You're going to need some help from the others, because eventually you're going to need to lean on them in one of these games. 14 games to go on the regular season. Sixers now 42-26. They have a three-game homestand beginning on Friday, hosting the 42-26 Dallas Mavericks with the identical record, walking away with a win tonight over the Brooklyn Nets by two in Brooklyn. Luka Doncic 37-9-9. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls, 610-632-0975, as we go in the post with you until midnight, discussing your Sixers 4-point win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are now 3-0 against the Cavs with one more to go late in April in the schedule, early April, but late in the schedule once again against the Cleveland Cavs. So they've already taken the 4-game series with one more game to play. That's encouraging to see that. And hopefully they remain in the third spot all by them lonesome, or maybe move up a little bit in the second, at least tying things up with Milwaukee if the Sacramento Kings can do their job against the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. 610-632-0975 in the post, talking Sixers until midnight. 11:45 leftovers with Tyler Zuli. We'll mix in some football talk, some baseball talk, because there's things to talk about with the local teams. We'll do that when we get back, along with the Sixers conversation, in the post until midnight, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you as we go in the post. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli here as well. He'll have your leftovers at 11:45. We'll get his thoughts on the game and much, much more as we dive into the Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles and see what happened throughout the day, because some things did happen. The Phillies, well, they have a new outfielder. His name is Kyle Schwarber, and we'll talk about that as well. A pretty good deal. Some other stuff happening around Major League Baseball that directly impacts the Phillies. So we'll get into all of that as we go along. 610-632-0975. Talking Sixers, talking the win. Good W. Just simply a good W on the road against a good team in the Cleveland Cavaliers. Darius Garland is super talented. I really like him. We didn't know what he was going to be coming back from the ACL injury since he missed his time at Vanderbilt. And the Cleveland Cavaliers did enough of their due diligence. The medical team cleared him, and he has come into this NBA where he didn't start off this way. He showed some signs, and then he's playing with Colin Sexton, so you don't really know how things are going to go with those two. But I you look at him and you think about it, your two cornerstones are specifically your two, Garland and Mobley, with obviously Jared Allen as a first-time All-Star there, Isaac Okoro, a nice young wing in this league, and Colin Sexton, I'm curious where he fits in with things. You can play with two small guards. We know that. We've seen it happen with an all-NBA 75 player in Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, obviously Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars. We've seen backcourts that were small that can get it done. But with the arrow pointing up for Darius Garland and doing it with no Colin Sexton on the floor, J.B. Bickerstaff is going to have to figure out how to use these guys together going forward. A problem to worry about later for them, but what I am saying is they have talent. They have some really good talent. And Darius Garland ended up with 22-7 tonight, 5-15. He struggled from the floor, but he was still able to get to the foul line 12 times, making 11 of those, 1-4 from deep, 17 for Isaac Okoro. So we've already seen him play against the Sixers and have some real good success. The last time out where the Sixers won a close game back here at home, I believe he was over 20 points in that game, and he had 17 tonight. He made three threes in 41 minutes and 27 seconds. He's a defender. You know, he has a good body for a wing player, a young player in this league. He's going to have a lot of success in this league for a long time. Jared Allen out, but Evan Mobley steps into the center position tonight with 13 points, 9 rebounds, 5 of 7 from the floor. You know it will be tough for him because he did pick up the 5 fouls against Embiid. Tough matchup for Rudy Gobert. It was certainly going to be a tough one tonight for Evan Mobley, who's not yet ready physically for that type of matchup with Joel Embiid, and also just not yet ready because he is a rookie. He's a young player, not knowing how to defend him yet, and they tried to send the double teams. What I liked about Embiid tonight is he worked very quickly. The ball came to him, he found his way, he found what he wanted to do, and he did it. And he finished 13 of 19 from the floor, 8 of 10 from the foul line. 13 each from Mobley and Markkanen, Philadelphia native and Penn State alum. 8 points for Lamar Stevens tonight. 10 off the bench for Kevin Love with 2 threes. Moses Brown gave them good minutes in the backup role as a center. 8 points tonight. 2 rebounds and 15 for Caris LeVert. We already know that he can score. Brandon Goodwin came in 13 minutes and 55 seconds and put up 8 points, 3 assists in the loss for the Cleveland Cavaliers. A good win for the Sixers. That third quarter, man, 31 points for the Cavs to the Sixers 13. That's where it changed for the Sixers. And as I look at it quickly, and then we'll get to the phones and we'll talk to Tyler as well, the Sixers shot 5 of 19 in the third, 26.3%, 0 for 8 from deep in the game, in the third quarter, 5 turnovers leading to 7 points for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So a tough third quarter for them. You hate to see those types of quarters, those types of stretches overall for your team when they struggle that way. Embiid had 7. He was 2 for 6. Maxey was 2 for 5. Harden 1 for 5. Matisse Thybulle, Tobias Harris, and Danny Green only able to get up 1 shot each. Tough third quarter, but they overcame it and ultimately winning the game by 4, 118-114. What say you? What do you think about things that happened tonight? The bench tonight, Doc Rivers stating that he's not worried about it. Why are we worried about it? He's not worried about it. The locker room, they're not worried about it. They just know that when they come in to give their best effort, put their best foot forward, and hopefully have a productive outing when they step on the floor. Yeah, but it's been a constant thing where it's been a glaring thing with this team, especially when we talk about, once again, point total wise, the Sixers, 4 players in double figures combined for 100 points. 100 points. 18 from 13 from the bench, 5 from Matisse Thybulle. Tough to ignore it when you're looking at 32. What do they have? 10, 18, 22. 23, pardon me. So you're looking at over 40 points for the Cavs bench once again to the Sixers 18. It's kind of hard to ignore it at this point when you're looking at the Sixers, the 41 points for the Cavs to the Sixers 18. You just don't like to see it. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Eagles and the Phillies. in the 11 o'clock hour. Let's start things off on the phones in Germantown with Adam tipping us off here in the post tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic. Adam, I can hear you.
Oh, well, I'm sure you'll lose me because I live in the basement.
What's up, man?
All right. What's up? Yeah, your cousin just keeps playing better and better. I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, man.
I follow him. Anyway, I think the Sixers and the Cavaliers play good basketball. I think they're two even teams, actually. And I think the only thing the Sixers are is they're a season away because they need a little more physicality. They need a little more athleticism. And they need somebody to address the giving up Seth Curry. It's just my opinion. I mean, you know, yeah, you'd like to get somebody else with the athleticism to address the offensive boards you gave up for Drummond. But, you know, they had a shot at Dragic, and he chose to go to the guy he backed up in Phoenix as a player. So, you know, that was a tough break. If they had gotten Dragic, you might be having a different conversation. But
yeah, absolutely, because now we're looking at somebody that you can trust. You know that he can explode, but even if he doesn't explode for a big number of points, what he's going to do is be steady at that guard position and help out overall. So you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, he chose Brooklyn.
No, I mean, he got into great shape for Brooklyn very quickly. I don't know how he did it, but I'm not saying Brooklyn's going to win the championship because they're not. It's just when I look at their team, the Sixers, it's like Doc Rivers said the other night. When they played, was it Brooklyn? When they got out physicals, the dribble handoffs, the knockaways, when teams really want to get physical with them, which is not Cleveland. I think Darius Garland is making Winston very proud. But it's just, that team is kind of like Cleveland of the 80s. They're a finesse team. And the Sixers are somewhat of a finesse team as well. As much as Embiid is a physical guy, he is a shot maker. He's a guy that knocks down shots. The Sixers, with those six guys that they put on the floor with Yang, they can all knock down shots pretty well. But when it comes to kind of the other six, that's where they got to get a little better. So I was telling Tyler, like, the Sixers are what they are. They're pretty good this time around, and Embiid's going to win the MVP. But not a championship team yet. And that's pretty much what you said.
Yeah, I just thought it wasn't, you know, I needed to see more. And now we're starting to see it come together, Adam, where we can maybe have a much clearer vision of that. Now, again, just like you changed a little bit where you thought that they would go in on the deep run, and they still may, they could also go in another direction where they do figure more things out. Adam, thanks for the call, man. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you later. Where they do put more things together, the bench does step up at some point. But right now it does seem like that's the one thing that, of course, that they are lacking, where the physicality is the physicality. That can change, too, where you just decide, you know what, I'm going to be a more physical player. Doesn't hurt my game. Doesn't hurt my team. I'm helping out. We need it. And it goes a long way for you. The one thing that absolutely has to, is just getting more from others. You just need more from others, right? That's why you have your 12 men. That's why you have your 15 men, your 17 overall. You need help. Everybody needs to step up and contribute, and especially on the offensive end. Defensively, we talk about it very often. Offensively, I mean, it's tough to ask about 100 points every night from your four starters that we saw them get that. Tonight, Philly fan for life, 8. Asks on Twitter, D, Rivers has to use Joe, Shake, Bassey, and Reed more for rest purposes. He's wearing the starting five out, and in the offseason, they must address the bench, add some better shooters, athleticism, and dribble drive guys, and some toughness. Overall, Philly fan for life, 8, says that to us on Twitter. I agree with you. That's the offseason, and we'll get there. Right now, And I know Tyler and I talked about this briefly. Everyone's been mentioning it about bringing in these young guys. Why does Doc Rivers not trust the young guys? Something, again, is preventing him from leaning on these young guys. He gave Isaiah Joe the nod again over Furkan Korkmaz. It was a quick hook. 4 minutes and 5 seconds. Saw two personal fouls. That's enough of Isaiah Joe for Doc Rivers. He saw enough. Had to go elsewhere. Wasn't it?
Well, I think you said it right there. And I've been one that's been clamoring for Isaiah Joe. You and I were talking during the game, and I was sitting here again saying, why is Danny Green the one that's getting the run? And is it just a veteran thing, what the case may be?
Trust.
And I think you said it right there. Two quick fouls. Isaiah Joe fouls too much for somebody who doesn't play enough, who doesn't get a lot of run, doesn't get a lot of time. A, he fouls too much, and B, I'm not quite sure he's ready to be anything more than a catch-and-shoot guy. I don't trust him that much with the basketball in his hands other than catch-and-shoot, meaning I don't trust him to create, I don't trust him to dribble drive, and not that I trust Danny Green to do these things either, but I think that what Danny Green does, similarly to Isaiah Joe, right now he's doing the other things just to shade
better. Tonight he had two steals.
Right.
Right.
And you've talked about his defense before.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's not good anymore.
It's not great anymore, where he was almost a great defensive player. Now it's just
spurt good?
Yeah. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know how to help this player shade off a little bit. I know how to hedge out when need be. I know how my rotations are supposed to go. And Doc Rivers trusts that. Remember when we would talk about and people would make fun of me because of how I felt about when Brett Brown loved Amir Johnson in his reserve role? It wasn't that I loved Amir Johnson. I understood what he was thinking, that I have a veteran here who I trust in Amir Johnson, so I'm going to go with him instead of one of the young bigs. That's just certain coaches, of course, trust veterans more than young players. Now, if they felt like they had another younger player that can give them some production, I'd imagine that they would go that way. Look at Michael Malone with Bones, right?
Correct.
Bones is averaging 10 on the season off the bench. There's something in Bones that you can't keep him on the pine. You have to give him those minutes, and Michael Malone does that. It helps that Porter Jr. and Murray are not there, and maybe some of the other things that they want to do are they're unable to do so with the guards. So he trusts Bones right now, and he'll probably trust Bones in the playoffs for certain spurts as well. But if Bones doesn't play, I'd imagine that he's also going to pull him out of the game too. So we'll see where it continues to go. It keeps shrinking though, Ty. We're now at game 14 left on the season. 14 games left on the season with 68 already in the books now with their 42-26 record. Will we find out? I don't know. There is enough time, but will they capitalize off of the time that's going to be given to them to take advantage of the situation?
Well, and you talk about that appreciable difference, right? If the young guy was an appreciable difference to the veteran, they would be getting more run. And in that case, you're correct. You mentioned the case with Amir Johnson. I think that in that particular instance, I know he was much more raw than he is now in 4 or 5 years later. In that particular instance, the athleticism that you were getting from Rashawn Holmes was an appreciable difference over Amir Johnson. Brett Brown just didn't see it.
And his issue, Brett Brown, was that Rashawn Holmes just didn't rebound.
Correct.
And defend well enough. So he's like, I will sacrifice that the athleticism, maybe some alley-oops running the floor, rim to rim, all that stuff, versus I can't give up these offensive rebounds that he's giving up because he doesn't attack the defensive glass well enough. To your point.
And the appreciable difference, just it's not there with Green and Isaiah Joe or Green and, whoever.
Shake. Or let's just say Korkmaz, because Shake will get a couple of minutes.
So he's going to go for, he's going to go for the vet, I guess. I don't love it, because believe me, I've said plenty of times I don't think Green should be playing anymore. Mm-hmm. But there's no better option right now.
Not right now. That's why the buyout market, we were all clamoring for it. I'm sure that Daryl Morey, Elton Brand, and even Doc Rivers were as well, but it never came to fruition. But then we go back to, you could have had Isaiah Thomas. I don't know what it means, but at least he's there. He might be someone that you feel comfortable going with. Yes, a defensive liability, but as far as someone that you can trust to handle the basketball and maybe even run an offense, run a set, understand certain actions, he's a veteran that could have potentially done that, but they didn't go in that route. So it is what it is. 610-632-0975. We're in the post with you until midnight. I'm Devon Givens. That's Tyler Zuli. We'll get into the Birds and the Phillies on the other side as well. Isaiah Thomas played 9 minutes tonight, 2 points in the Charlotte's 10-point win over the Atlanta Hawks. We'll come back. We'll get Eric in South Philly. Everybody else, 610-632-0975. In the post, Sixers win by 4, 118-114. The Dallas Mavericks next on Friday here in Philadelphia. We're talking about it all. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in the post. 97.5 The Fanatic. 1103 610-632-0975. By the way, as we talk about the Sixers 4-point win over the Nuggets. Oh, pardon me, the Cavs 118-114. I wish they had a 4-point win on Monday over the Nuggets. The Nuggets went to Washington as part of their road trip, defeated the Washington Wizards 127-109. Bones, 17 points in 24 minutes off the bench. See what we're talking about? Trusting the young guy. Going with Bones for 24. You got Austin Rivers with 21 minutes. Brandon Forbes, 17 minutes. So trusting, again, the young guy with more minutes than the two vets in Forbes as an NBA champion and proven shooter in this league, and Austin Rivers. Now, they had good games tonight, 13 for Rivers, 10 for Forbes. Not the same numbers on Monday here in Philadelphia, but Bones, again, outplaying them with his 17 in 24 minutes, 6 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 4 from deep.
And you know what the thing is, too? You say that, you know, what happens when you give the young guy some run. In order to get that run, you've got to build the trust. And that's the big problem. It's not been built. And I understand we've talked about it where it's small spurts, plays well, small spurts, plays poorly, sits the bench for 5 games. And that's not conducive to building any kind of run or chemistry or anything like that. But you have to build the trust in those small spurts to make it into the larger spurts.
No question about it. You got to get out there. And that's when I was saying I wanted to see, try to give Isaiah Joe maybe 5 consecutive games. I don't know the amount of minutes, but some consistent run out there to see what he can do. Something that he can, you know, go off of. But again, Doc Rivers decided not to go that route. So, you know, that's part of the conversation. Tournament starts tomorrow as well. Well, the play-in, the first four is the game they've been playing. And last night, Indiana won. Tonight, we got Rutgers and Notre Dame playing in their game, the 2-11 seeds. Rutgers up 53-51 with just under 11 minutes to play in their play-in. Tied a tournament, it's always the best. And having fans back in the building where we've had to deal with, of course, with COVID, not having a full arena to watch these games, the atmosphere is the same again. Watching the conference tournaments and feeling it again, it's going to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm super excited. And
so much fun.
I have sat here and tinkered and toyed with my bracket like 7,000 times to the point where I told myself I'm going to look at it one time tomorrow and I'm going to make any changes I feel fit and then I'm putting it away. Because I'm not going to sit here and like bang my head against the wall. Which 5-12 and which 14-3 and blah, blah, blah. It's just not worth it.
Nah. It always happens. That 5-12 or one of those other teams knocking off another seed, a lower seed, knocking off a higher seed. I always have a hard time with certain ones because I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen, but it always happens. So what am I talking about? Yeah, my bracket, I didn't have a lot of bracket busters.
I think I have...
Went a lot of chalk.
I mean, I think I have did. One double-digit team getting to the Sweet 16. So it's not like it's pretty chalk. I mean, it's not like I got 4-1s going, but I think the only double-digit team I have winning multiple games is Virginia Tech.
I do, too. Yeah, I have Virginia Tech.
And that, you know, again, that's that what happens when you stop playing for 4 days, because they won the ACC tournament. What happens when you stop playing for 4 days? But the last we saw of them, they were playing some really good basketball.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so it's going to be fun beginning tomorrow. And Notre Dame, 2-point advantage. You have Rutgers. I had Notre Dame.
Yeah, I actually think that Rutgers can beat Alabama. I think Notre Dame can too.
I do too. Yeah, I think either one of them can beat Alabama, in my opinion. I agree with you. But this one's a good game tonight as well. I have to go out tomorrow. I have to come in here early. I have to do something else. Might find my way. It's going to be raining tomorrow, but I might find my way somewhere and watch the game. The first weekend is always the best. And the first 2 days specifically, Thursday and Friday, fantastic. Let's go to Eric in South Philly. We'll get to the Birds in the Philly shortly. Eric, what's up, man? Welcome in the post.
Hey, what's up, D?
What's up, Eric? Yeah, I got you.
All right, yeah. Now, I'm going to start out by saying this was a good one. You know, that Cavs team, you know, they're very good squad, you know.
Yes, they are.
But mainly, man, my biggest takeaway from that game, like, it's just red flags keep popping up on this team, you know, talking about us. We once again blew a lead. The fact that they actually took the lead in the third quarter, like late third quarter too, you know, that was disheartening, you know. And the one person I blame is Doc Rivers. Like, I don't see it with him. Like, I don't see us winning a chip with this coach. You guys were talking about Bone Highland earlier, right?
Yes.
Like, Michael Malone, like, he's able to withstand his mistakes. Like, he's a rookie. He won't make mistakes. You know what I'm saying? So it's either you got the patience to deal with it and you might, you know, have something, or, you know, you just don't. And I know, like, with Tyrese, like, he's, like, you know, it happened, you know, but at the same time, it took Ben refusing to play for him to give Tyrese any type of meaningful minutes. That playoff series against the Hawks, Tyrese should have played more minutes. Like, it was obvious. Everybody was calling for it. You know, it took him so long to realize that. You know, I don't see it with that. But, you know, overall, I'm able to look at a bigger picture. Overall, it's a good one. Hopefully we can end up being a one or a two seed, because I'm trying to avoid that matchup with Brooklyn.
Well, right now, in the standings, the Sixers are still in the third spot. The Bucks are playing tonight. They're leading the Sacramento Kings, so they'll win that game, and they'll still have a game up on the Sixers. But the Sixers have a full game up on Chicago and a game and a half up on Boston. Boston leading the Golden State Warriors by 17 right now, heading into the locker room. So the Bulls are about to lose to the Jazz in the fourth. They're down 13. Well, they could come back. But, yeah, man, for me, I think, again, it's always, for me, stay in the top four, stay in the top three if you can, and get home court advantage no matter who it is. I think it's going to be Toronto and Brooklyn out of the play-in tournament. It's just a matter of what happens with Cleveland. Do they fall out of it, or are they in the play-in tournament? Will one of those two teams take over that spot? Because right now, Toronto's they're only a half a game back of Cleveland, and they're playing the Clippers tonight in L.A. in the second quarter. So they could be tied with the Cavs after tonight.
Let me ask you something, though. I know, I don't know about our home record, but I know we've been one of the best, like, away teams this season.
Yeah, 23-11 away, 19-15 at home.
So, I mean, you really want to be top three and get that home field game?
Absolutely. I'm not going to, just because, yeah, absolutely. It's not going to change for me just because they've been playing, you know, poorly this season at home. A lot of it was without their full complement of their team. And I think down the stretch, E, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it as always. That at some point they'll get it together at home. Not that they're going to run all of these games now with the remaining 14. And I don't know how many of them are home games. I mean, I can look that up quickly as I speak with everybody. But 14 games left at home. It's not going to stop me from not wanting to have a home playoff series. Tom talked about it too. You want game one, you want game seven at home if you have to play in the game, in those games. So yeah, absolutely. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 away, 7 home. 7 away, 7 home. And the final two, Indiana and Detroit, are the ones that will to be determined time-wise on Saturday and Sunday, April 9th and April 10th. win your games.
And not that going to the West Coast is ever fun for East Coast teams, but the good news is two of those seven are going to be played in the same building.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little bit easier.
Sure.
You know, and not, again, not to say that the West Coast is a blast, but if you get to play two games at Crypto.com, you know, it's two sevenths is what, like, I don't know, 26% or whatever that math comes out to be. It's not perfect, but it helps.
And ideally, you would like to take both of them because you have Phoenix.
Correct.
On Sunday, the best team in the NBA. Their home record is really, really good, obviously.
It doesn't matter where they play.
True, but they played them well here. Second night of a back-to-back, you wish, for Sixer fans, you wish that you would have won that game. At home, they're 29-8 at home, the Phoenix Suns are. So
no, I meant Phoenix. It doesn't matter where they play. They've just been good all year.
Right, yeah. So the Lakers, when you talk about their home record, 20-17, the Clippers are 20-14 at Crypto/Staples. There's a chance that the 76ers with, again, the 23-11 road record can go out to L.A. and take both. Definitely, if you don't take both, you absolutely have to split. You know what I'm saying? So that's seven games at home, seven games on the road, and you have three home games Friday, Sunday, and Monday. So three home games, playing three games in 4 days, that's not easy either, even though they are going to be at home. 610-632-0975. Run through the scores in the NBA here quickly just to kind of update people before we get to the Phillies and the Eagles. For the Charlotte Hornets and the Atlanta Hawks, a battle for their spot 9 and 10 in the play-in tournament. Those are going to be the four teams, Raptors, Nets, Hornets, and Hawks, in some order with the Cavs in that play-in tournament. So tonight, the Charlotte Hornets got the better of the Hawks in their game, 116-106. The Brooklyn Nets fell to the Dallas Mavericks, 113-111. No one else really matters. Well, they matter. Toronto is just early in the game. It's in the second quarter, 38-35. Clippers right now, Milwaukee is a 7-point leader over the Sacramento Kings at halftime. In Boston, they're beating up on Golden State by 16 at the break. And with that, Steph, his ankle was rolled up on by Marcus Smart. So who knows if he is even back in the game. By the way, Chicago is trailing by 15 to the Jazz with 3:59 to play in the fourth quarter. So that one matters because they could drop a half a game back, another half game. So it would be a game and a half the Sixers would have over the Bulls. If the Celtics win, they would jump over the Chicago Bulls, actually, with their win, and they would be the fourth seed, where the Bulls would now be the fifth seed. By the way, I'm not scared of them either. I respect them because those scores can win games for you. Sixers swept them. I don't mind that matchup. And as I mentioned already, Toronto playing in L.A. at this moment. So New York lost. Who cares? They're out of the playoffs. Washington, same thing. Who cares? They're out of the playoffs. It doesn't matter for the Sixers.
Wait, they are? New York's out? I thought New York was back. Didn't they tell us that?
Last season they were back. Not this season. 29-40. They blew out the Portland Trailblazers.
There's like a whole video on it.
Yeah, for sure.
And a saying that people love.
Yeah. Oh, bing bong.
Yeah.
Well, that video is funny all the time.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Yeah,
but
sidewalk talk is fun.
But I'm saying is,
yes,
it won one game and it was like, you know, get a parade down Broadway.
Yep. Watch out. Watch out. So, all right, man, I got to ask you about this. As we talk about the Sixers, that will continue through the rest of the night, going until midnight, 610-632-0975. Got to ask you, Tyler, there's a big signing by the Phillies. We've talked about him before in the conversation with Chris Bryant. Kyle Schwarber, according to one Jim Salisbury earlier today, he had reported that they were in conversation. It looked like it was about to happen. We already knew they were in conversation. It was about to happen. And with it, they did have an agreement today with Kyle Schwarber on a deal coming to the Philadelphia Phillies. And they also announced the Odubel Herrera deal, 1 year, $1.75 million. And he could also add some incentives. And they're going to platoon him with Matt Verling in center field. But you also have another fielder there. In left, Kyle Schwarber. Good bat, as we know. Spent time with Chicago, the Cubs, and the Boston Red Sox a season ago. Put up some okay numbers. Has a World Series with the Cubs. It seems like it's a four-year deal worth, according to Jim, around $79 million, according to a source. And that will leave the Phillies with about $10 million under the $230 million competitive balance tax threshold. So, Bryce Harper said it's a huge, huge deal for them. This is huge for us, is the quote from Bryce Harper. I ask you, Tyler, baseball man that you are, big time Phillies follower of what they do, how huge is this for the Phillies?
I think perspectively it's huge. Like, it's huge for the lineup because it adds another bat to the lineup. It adds somebody who gets on base at a high clip.
A guy that can get you 20 to 30 home
yeah,
runs.
Yeah, he's going to hit you a lot of home runs.
Especially here.
I can only speak for myself. I would lead him off more times than not. I mean, but you know me, I've been on the unconventional train of Bryce Harper off for a long time.
Real Muto sometimes.
I'm a big proponent of I don't care what your speed is. I don't care how many times you're going to steal bases. I don't care about any of that. I need somebody that can get on base at the top of my lineup to be that cog to start things. The Phillies were really lucky for over a decade that Jimmy Rollins was both a 100% guy who would get on base and had speed. But if you're only going to give me one of the two options, I'm taking the get-on-base factor every single time because you can't steal bases from the dugout. Roman Quinn made that very apparent. If you can't get on base, you can't steal bases. But if you get on base, things can happen. And you talk about the fact that he's going to play at Citizens Bank Park. He could give you somewhere between 20 and 30 home runs. So I think in that perspective, it's huge. In the perspective of the grand total of things, it's a good signing. It's not Chris Bryant. It's not Nick Castellanos, and it's not a guy who can play incredibly solid make defensive plays in left field. He's an average outfielder with an average arm, and what you're signing him for is the productivity
in the
lineup.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So in the perspective of him being in the lineup, I would not disagree that it's huge. In the perspective of the totality of free agency and what we were hoping for, what I was hoping for, which was Chris Bryant, I think it's good. It's not great. It's good.
It's a good move, but you felt like with it, it couldn't be the only move. Remember how Andrew McCutchen came in and we were like, all right, that's cool, but what else is coming? And eventually it was always about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado at the time. One of those two had to come in to make this a fantastic offseason, and they did. Bryce Harper joined the Phillies. You don't expect anything else huge to happen, but what other things can they do to make it okay, this is good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not going to be that kind of signing. It's going to be maybe a small trade, maybe a signing of a defensive-minded center fielder. The two names that I would consider still at this point is if you're okay with a guy in center field who is going to give you great defense, even though he's getting a little bit older, if he's going to give you great defense, even though he's only going to hit probably 215, 220, if you're cool with him hitting ninth, I would be on the phone with Kevin Pillar right now to get yourself a defensive center fielder. And then
not mad at that.
The other move that I would do, I would talk to because they're seemingly going fire sale in their organization, is I'm calling the Oakland A's and I'm doing whatever I can to acquire Sean Manaea to give you another starting pitcher.
Yeah, they are cleaning house up there in Oakland over there. Yeah.
Because they don't want to spend any money.
They don't want to spend any money. I like it. Of course, you just like it. You don't love it. You like it. You understand. And your point about the leadoff, I'm looking here at Jim's story on NBCSports.com, NBCSportsPhilly.com. He talks about Schwarber will bring strong on-base skills to the Phillies lineup. He has some history batting leadoff and could fill that role for the Phillies, who struggled mightily there last season. Schwarber saw extensive time in the leadoff spot with Washington last season, including in the month of June when he belted 16 homers for the Nationals during his time there before he was sent to the Boston Red Sox. So, good move. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good move.
It will have me paying attention to how the lineup is shaping up and paying attention to the games, because it might be one of those deals where, again, we're like, oh, with Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, and Schwarber, all right, I'll pay attention to that top five and see where they all fall in the lineup, or top six and see where they all fall there and see what the production is overall.
I know that, and why we consider it good, we were just talking about Schwarber's defense a little bit. I know that the object of baseball is to score more runs than the other team, and if you're going to score six, seven runs a night, you should be okay. But two things still stand out to me. The bullpen still stinks. There is not a single guy within that bullpen that I inherently trust and I would give my trust to. I think it may be worse than it was a year ago, quite frankly. And two, with Schwarber and knowing what we know about whoever's going to place it, Vierling's okay, Herrera's less than okay in center field. Gregorius is a butcher at shortstop. Alec Bohm is basically a butcher at third.
Saw something earlier where he said he felt a little better, though.
He might. That's fine. But he was terrible a season ago while he was there. And Rhys Hoskins is not a good defensive first baseman either. Other than JT Realmuto and I guess Harper's probably your second best glove, and Segura too, you're looking at a really, really poor defensive team. That's going to be worrisome for me over the course of a 162-game schedule.
All right, we got a little update, Major League Baseball.
Do we?
Little update, little bit. I hope it's not in your leftovers. I don't think it is.
I haven't seen anything yet.
Just came out.
Okay.
Ken Rosenthal, of course, great baseball man that he is, from The Athletic, senior writer, and free agent first baseman, my man, Freddie. In serious talks again with the Dodgers, sources tell The Athletic, deal expected to be in the six-year, $160 million range. First, with talks progressing, John Morosi. 6 years, $160.
That's a good deal. I thought he might get a little bit more.
And what did...
I thought he'd get closer to 30 a year.
Right.
Especially if it was with the Dodgers. And I know that he's getting a little bit older, but...
It's a good spot for him, good spot for them.
Yeah. And obviously, they're going to...
Bottom line.
They're going to be a good team again this year, obviously.
Once again.
And probably, I shouldn't even say good. They're going to be a great team again this year.
Once again. Yep, absolutely. All right, man. Well, listen. On the other side, we got the leftovers at 11:45 with you. So with the 11:45 leftovers, as we get ready to close things out, talk a lot about what's going on, but we're definitely going to get into the birds. The NFL, things kicked off today. But, however, unfortunately, you haven't heard much else since Hassan Reddick. What's going on? Where are things going to land for the Philadelphia Eagles and what they may do? We'll talk about that when we get back. Final segment in the post. Sixers win by 4 over the Cavs. Good road win, 118-114. We're going in the post until midnight. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that funk of Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
.11:32, final segment here on 97.5 The Fanatic as we have gone in the post following Sixers basketball. A win, a four-point victory, 118-114 over the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. They're back at home on Friday night hosting the Dallas Mavericks as a part of the first game of a three-game homestand. Dallas Friday, Toronto Sunday night, Monday night, the Miami Heat. And now, you know, they have a chance to improve their home record once they start things off on Friday. Watching the NCAA tournament.
That's a bad shot selection.
Rutgers.
It's a good pick and roll play.
Notre Dame.
The second chance shot was not a good shot
selection. Going to overtime now, as Rutgers had an opportunity, two shots. They had an offensive rebound, and the last shot attempt fell short. It was a terrible decision by the guard. He just dribbled, and stepped into a fadeaway jump shot, highly contested.
From like 18 feet, too.
For no reason. So, all right, but we'll get to that. Maybe that game will be done by the time we step out of here. I doubt it. Now this is going to be overtime. All right, NFL free agency officially, Ty, got underway today at 4 p.m. And that's the start of the new league year. There have been some things that have happened overall today. Chandler Jones, we've talked about him, just mentioning his name as a possible defensive end addition. We know about Hassan Reddick, 3 years with the Birds, over $40 million. Like that, versatile player, weapon, can do a lot of things for the Birds. Well, right now, Todd, it's the only thing that they've done in terms of bringing in anybody new. Chandler Jones goes to the Oakland Raiders. He's joining the Raiders, and that's a nice pickup for Josh McDaniels going out there for the Oakland Raiders. So he's going there. What else? We have Mac Hollins, former Eagle, is going to the Oakland Raiders as well, leaving the Miami Dolphins. Chris Godwin. Huh? Good for him, right, Ty? Tearing his ACL. He was the franchise player, Chris Godwin, reached an agreement on a 3-year, $60 million deal that includes $40 million guaranteed at signing. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, me too. And it's kind of, I bet you, I would love to be like a fly on the wall in some of these receivers with their agents and the teams.
As soon as the first one went off.
Well, not even just the first one, but if I were Chris Godwin, I'd be like, listen, you see that? You see what Christian Kirk just got?
Now, the only reason he didn't get more
minimum
is because he's injured. Might have gotten more.
Devontae Adams should ask for like 45 a year.
He's sitting there like this. Making that face. We don't have to say a word. Annie up. That's it.
Packers front office is
two
just,
words.
You tell me when to stop. We'll keep going up. You tell me when to stop.
Annie up. So good for him. The Giants are bringing in, after losing Evan Engram, they're bringing in Ricky Seals-Jones. According to a source, Jordan Renan has it out there. 30 catches, 271 last year, 2 TDs. Last season for Washington, so he's another tight end that they have in their mix.
You know, I think the Giants could theoretically, now granted they have to get this right, could theoretically have a much better offensive line than they did a season ago.
They'll address it even in the draft because they have the two top 10
They
picks.
Made a free agent play, and I forget who they brought in, and I believe it might have been a guard that they brought in, but they signed an offensive lineman, and then you're right, they've got those two picks. John Feliciano was who it was to play center. Sorry, not it was an interior offensive lineman. But you've got the two picks. You can go with your choice of whoever's left, whether it be Kem Ikwanu or Evan Neal or Charles Cross or whomever you like. You have an opportunity to really strengthen. And then with Andrew Thomas on the opposite side, you could theoretically have a much better offensive line than you did a season ago.
Absolutely. The Dolphins signed former 49ers running back Raheem Mostert, 1-year deal. $3.1 million per his agent. That's interesting because after that season where they went to the playoffs, I think it was the Super Bowl they went to, he had such a great year. Didn't he decline one of the offers? Felt like he would have gotten a better deal and he got hurt again, so he didn't get another deal?
Who was that?
Raheem Mostert.
Yes.
I think it was him declining a deal.
I think that's correct.
And then he gets hurt again. Yeah, so...
It's one of the fastest men I've ever seen in my life.
1-year deal.
Dude flies.
$3 million.
You know, it's weird. I saw this tweet, and it's true. The Dolphins seem to always have, like, weird stockpiled backfields. And I get it because I'm, you know, not somebody who's going to go and spend a ton of money unless it's like Dalvin Cook or, you know, McCaffrey or Kamara or something like that. But they always seem to have one too many. And then they never know who to use.
Never. Never. And then that's their problem, and they have no idea how to figure it all out. And then, you know, just get in their own way, and they're just going to continue to be the Dolphins that are good, but not good enough, maybe.
Well, and, so, you know, quite frankly, what's going to end up happening is it's just going to be whoever's the best pass catcher.
Yep.
You know, who's going to catch 40, 50 balls out of the backfield and run a lot of screens and Texas routes and stuff like that, and... That's kind of their MO with their running back group.
Well, who's going to be the best pass catcher for the New York Jets? Could it be
Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore, certainly. But what they have done, the Jets, is bring in two tight ends, Tyler. After bringing in C.J. Uzoma from the Cincinnati Bengals, you know that's my guy all season long. They also bring in, from the Vikings, they bring in Tyler Conklin.
I don't think either of them are bad moves. I mean, like you said, that was your guy. I can't tell you how many times you bet you hit on... Because his receiving totals were ridiculously low most weeks. And you would just be like, over, mm-hmm. over,
yeah.
over, and cash out. And, you know, neither of those guys are top flight tight ends, but it gives a young Zach Wilson some more opportunities along with Moore and Davis. And they brought Tevin Coleman back as well. That backfield, I think, is going to be good with, you know, he and Carter. They're not great anywhere, but they're seemingly getting better everywhere.
And then the draft happens, and we see who else they add to their team. They have two top 10 picks as
well.
Yeah, 49ers, they take an Eagles defensive tackle. Hassan Ridgeway signs a one-year deal, $2.5 million.
Like you said, good for him earlier. Good for Hassan Ridgeway. I liked him a lot. The guy that kind of filled whatever role you needed him to.
Absolutely. It looks like we talked about Miles Jack a little bit being released from the Jags.
Shocking.
Steelers.
Cheap, too.
Expected to sign a two-year, $16 million deal. That's nothing. That's it, but he's going to a great situation. Great defense. Watt's already there. You have everybody in the secondary as well. All the stuff that they have up front. Solid move for them. You also look at a big one for the Bills, Tyler. You got Von Miller leaving the Rams as a Super Bowl champion for the second time in his career, one with Denver. He's going to the Buffalo Bills, and they also have O.J. Howard from the Tampa Bay Bucks. Ty, two solid moves rotationally for them. A lot of money, 6 years, $120 million for Von Miller.
Yeah, I think it's a lot up front, though, which helps because
he's
obviously he's getting older.
I don't know if he's that guy anymore.
Right now he is. I don't know about for another 3 years or another
Goodness
5 years.
Gracious.
But, you know, it's funny because we talked about the Rams winning the Super Bowl this year. And since they've won the Super Bowl, they've lost a starting tackle, a starting defensive tackle, a starting defensive like edge rusher. And they have no picks and no money. So I will never, ever fault a team for going all in to win a Super Bowl, especially when you accomplish it. But there might be a quick slide, especially once Matthew Stafford's contract's up for this Rams team. They might fall down very quickly. Oh, by the way, they're not bringing OBJ back
yet. Right, yeah. How about that? Yeah, that's interesting. But anyway, they got their title and they did the job that they needed to do. Also, you have Za'Darius Smith, who was let go of by the Green Bay Packers. He's going to the Baltimore Ravens, 4 years, $35 million. Jarvis Landry, recently released from the Browns. He visited the Atlanta Falcons. They don't have any receivers. So Calvin Ridley suspended for the year. And, you know.
Do you know who the returning leading receiver is? Not leading pass catcher, because that would be Kyle Pitts. But the returning leading wide receiver is going to be this year right now, with Gage leaving and Ridley suspended?
No.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Wow.
You may see them take a receiver at 8. As desperate as they are in other spots, you might see them, out of necessity, have to take a Drake London or a Chris Olave or whoever it might be, Garrett Wilson.
Wow. Maybe they trade back in and go for Williams in the first round. Trade back into the first round, see how far he starts to slide, see if they like that.
So you think they'd take somebody else at 8 and then try to figure it out after that?
Yeah. Take a couple of guys later. Heavy Kyle Pitts this season. Of course, he'll be double teamed. And Cordarrelle Patterson, what's going on there?
He's not going to resign, I don't think.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I would be shocked if he does, just because they don't have any money.
Yeah, well. Well, man, so yeah, that's pretty much it as far as the big stuff goes with the National Football League. I'm sorry. Julio Jones, Titans, after one season, said they've seen enough. Have you seen enough?
Yeah, I'm good at this point.
Yeah, I think I'm done. And if they did it, and let's say the Eagles did it, right? You understand they need a veteran in the room. They did it.
Sure.
I got it. But we can't expect certain things because he's just not that player anymore.
Correct. And if you're looking for somebody who is going to be that veteran in the room, I think you could make the case that there's not many better. He's done it all other than, you know, win championships. He's on the field, done it all, seen it all. But you're right. He's not going to command double teams. He's not going to stretch the field. He's still a good player, but he's not the Julio Jones that we've come to know.
No, not at all. So, yeah.
So it would have to be a cheap deal, probably a one-year deal. And that's another position in which you're putting a Band-Aid over. It's like patchwork. How much patchwork can you do with this team?
Yep. Also, Yannick Ngakoue, the Raiders traded him to the Colts. So they're making moves. Colts are trading Rock Ya-Sin to Vegas in exchange.
Temple guy.
He's going out to Vegas. And Raiders are busy. Colts are doing things too, and they don't have a quarterback. So, you know, that's.
You know what else they don't have?
What?
A first round pick.
They don't, because it's coming to Philadelphia. The Birds have it. Also, Joe Flacco staying with the Jets, just to give you a heads up.
I'll make you a deal and give you 15 back or 16 or whatever it is.
Who you want back?
You give us the first back next year, and I want either Buckner or Leonard.
Ooh.
And I understand that's me being facetious. That's not real at all. But like, if you're in a desperation spot and you think that you need one of these quarterbacks, let's talk.
Nasty. Okay. Awesome.
That's being totally facetious.
Washington is releasing Matt Ioannidis. Would you go some depth?
Yeah, I think that might be an interesting move.
I would do some depth there.
Could stand up, could play with the hand in the turf, could do a couple different things.
100%.
Yeah, I'd consider that one.
I'd do some depth there. Landon Collins, they let him go. Eric Flowers,
another local
they let
guy,
him
by
go.
The way. Ioannidis, Temple guy.
Yeah, yeah. Also, would you go after Landon Collins? He's probably going to want some more money because he keeps getting paid.
No.
I don't want to pay that much.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't want to pay that much, but man, he would be nice, that physicality, boy, that he brings.
This team must like Marcus Epps a whole lot more than the fan base does.
And I like Marcus Epps, but Marcus Epps just needs to be a rotational player. Bottom line. Wow. All right, Ty, it's 11:45. Got to get to the leftovers, my man. What's happening?
Yes, we do.
Got to get to them.
And we talked a lot about the NFL. We talked a lot about Major League Baseball, and we'll start with the NFL tonight, move into the college ranks as well as this one comes to a close. The way things went down with Bobby Wagner in Seattle was weird. And I think the way that things are going down or went down with Russell Wilson in Seattle is weird. They put out a tweet today with Russell Wilson specifically and said, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play for our franchise. First and foremost, stop right there. Best quarterback to ever play for your franchise. Period. The end. But the way that the thing with Bobby Wagner was going apparently made the head coach Pete Carroll and the general manager John Snyder have a little bit of a coming to terms moment where they basically said that they feel bad about the way that they handled the situation with Wagner and allowing Wagner to find out via social media basically
awful.
That he wasn't coming back after 10 years.
Can't do that.
Now, Snyder owned up, said, it's on me, I own that. Carroll interjected, said, no, it's really on me. I could have handled things better from a miscommunication standpoint. According to Snyder, the complicating factor with Wagner is that he serves as his own agent. But I don't know about you, Devon, but the last time I checked, regardless of your agent or not, you have his cell phone number. You can call him and say, hey, by the way, here's the deal.
Number's the same. Number's the same. That's a bad job after the fact for both of them to say, no, it's my fault. I should have done better. No, it's my fault. Shouldn't you guys have had that conversation in the moment and saying, who's going to reach out and tell one of our all-time greats that we're not bringing him back? Who's going to do it?
Somebody's got to do it.
Right? When we watch these, the Hard Knocks, we see all the stuff, the communication. Oh, we got to cut this guy. We got to cut these guys. A lot of those guys, with all due respect, right, they're just guys trying to make a team.
They're players.
This is different.
This is Bobby Wagner.
You make sure you communicate. Terrible
job. You know what the thing is, too? Like, I think about that scene in Moneyball where Billy Beane brings guys in and one of them gets really PO'd. The other one's just like, cool, where am I going?
Right.
A lot of these guys, and I know Bobby Wagner probably would be a little bit emotional. He's been there for over a decade. But I feel like Bobby Wagner is the kind of professional that would be like, all right, well, at least I'll give you the respect for saying, hey, thanks for giving me the time of day, basically. Find out on social media is just wrong.
Bad job.
All right, let's go to college basketball next as this game winds down. Let me ask you this. Who do you think has the most big bets put on them? Which school has the most big bets put on them heading into tomorrow's tournament?
Wow, Tyler, look at that. Steal on the inbound. I am going to go with... Man, big bets, you said?
Big bets. Very, very large bets.
Big school?
Yeah.
Duke.
It is Duke.
Because of the K thing.
In the final year for Mike Krzyzewski, One wager would pay more than $5 million. And a bettor in New Jersey placed a $300,000 bet. That was the bet, by the way, $300,000 bet. There's 17-1 odds to win the tournament. Would pay out a net of $5.1 million. But that's not all. The three largest national championship bets put on points bets are also the Blue Devils. And at Caesars Sportsbook, more bets have been placed on Duke to win the tournament than any other team in the tournament.
They're not winning.
No, I agree. I don't think they are either.
They're not winning. We'll just leave that there. That's a K thing. People are losing their money now because of the emotional aspect of it. They're not winning.
Yeah, why? You're just going to waste money at that point.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
One story that we didn't get a chance to get to today, and we'll get to this the finale of this game in just a second, off sports, is that the Senate, United States Senate, has unanimously passed a bill to make daylight savings permanent.
Yes.
Starting in November of 2023. Now, the bill will head to the House, and if successful, it would end the biannual clock change and lead to more afternoon light. It would be lighter later in the winter months. Now, the downside to this is that it would be darker later as well in the winter months, meaning that we might not get sunrises at points until about 8:30 in the morning. But it'll be about 5:30 when the sun goes
down. That's all right. I'm not mad at that. I like it. I'm not mad at it. I like it. How about you?
I love it. I hate daylight savings time. I have admittedly been one that says, like, I for sure have, like, seasonal affective disorder, where in, like, the winter I just get, like, bummed out and sad and depressed at times. And I know that it's the same amount of time daylight, but having it later makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I'm cool.
Also, no too, problem. The way that, you know, with us coming into the station at that time, those like 3 months,
30 or so,
those like 3 months where the sun's down at like 4:30, you get,
it's
especially for me,
us.
I'm driving southbound to come in, I'm staring into the abyss, like just into the sun.
It's brutal.
One real quick before we get out of here, looks like we're going to double OT.
Double OT.
In this Rutgers Notre Dame game.
Still going Rutgers?
I am.
And I'm still going with the Fighting Irish.
This will be the last game before the tournament. So before you and I have an opportunity to speak again, the games are going to be played. I got to ask you, who you got?
Gonzaga. Finally. Mark Few gets it done. Finally. That's who I have.
I know it is incredibly difficult to repeat, and we haven't seen a team do it in a long, actually since Florida did it in 08-09. I am taking the Baylor Bears to repeat as national champions.
They will meet up in the Final Four.
They will? Yes, they won't my bracket, but they will in yours.
Yes, absolutely, they will.
And that's what we have for our leftovers for Wednesday night.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you as always.
Oh, by the way, any ups? We talked a little bit about it. Which upsets you like the best?
I had Iowa State. I can't remember because it's not in front of me. We'll talk about it on Friday. Yeah, we'll talk about it on Friday. Yeah, for me. Yeah, for me. Milwaukee is leading the SAC. Kings in the third. Boston up on Golden State going into the fourth. Todd, thanks so much. Great work as always. You and I'll be back on Friday together in the post. And tomorrow I'll be back after Flyers. So everybody have a great rest of your night. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.